Good to see you all. Got your clocks all changed and fixed and all that? Good. I stayed up till 2 o'clock last night to do it right when it was supposed to happen. I actually did. I didn't know. That wasn't by choice. I was just up. Anyway, back in the day, and I say that a lot as I age, back in the day, we used to sing a song in church that went like this: praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here on below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God wants to bless us, okay? That's what we're going to be talking about today. We are going to be talking about asking God to bless us, that he would bless our lives. Just saying that kind of sounds selfish, doesn't it? Lord, bless me. It can be very selfish. It can be, you know, this is what I want, Lord, bless me. But if it's true that whatever our gifts are, or our education, or our vocation might be, our calling as followers of Christ is to do God's work while we are on this earth by the power of the Spirit in us to accomplish that. If you want, you can call it living out your faith. You can call it ministry. You can call it every Christian's day job. But whatever you call it, God is looking for people to do more of it, okay? The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the what? The workers are few. God's still looking for workers in the harvest field to use their gifts, whatever those might be. And so maybe the better way to ask is to say, Lord, would you bless what you're doing in me and through my life for your glory? It sounds a little better, doesn't it? Lord, bless what you're doing in my life by your Spirit for the good of others and for your glory. To bless in the biblical sense means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. When we ask for God's blessing, we're not asking for more of what we could get for ourselves, okay? We're crying out for the wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God has the power to know about and to give to us. The kind of riches is what the writer was referring to in Proverbs 10:22 when he said this: the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. Think about that. The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. Our work adds nothing to it. Our greatest asset today is God's blessing in our life. What God wants to do in and through our lives. This morning, I'm praying that we come to a greater understanding of what it means when the Bible said God wants to bless you. I say it a lot to people. Maybe you do too. God bless you. God bless you. We even say it to people when they sneeze. What is that all about? I asked Siri about that, and I said that this morning in the first service. I said, hey, Siri. Nobody's got their phone on, so that's good. I asked Siri why people do that, and she said, from the belief that during a sneeze, one is susceptible to evil spirits entering your body. or it's to prevent you from developing the flu or the plague or sudden death. Crazy, isn't it? Totally crazy. We have again put our own understanding or our own interpretation and determine that this is what it means for God to bless us or to be blessed. In the same way, we've kind of determined what it means to live a blessed life, right? Blessing according to us. If I have this, if I get that, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, then I can be blessed. We want to be blessed, right? We're just a little confused sometimes on how to get it, how to get there. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 1, where the writer explains how to live a blessed life. It's kind of the how-to manual, right? In these short verses. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Everybody, right? How many think it's possible to live a blessed life? We're going to discover today that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. What's happened in the past, your circumstances, craziness in your family, or whatever's going on. God wants to bless you right now. And he has very clearly laid out a roadmap to blessing. And the ball, as they say, is in our court. Okay? We have to make the move. Like the Beatitudes, for example. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Let's look at Psalm 1 just for a moment this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 1. In this very short 6 verses, the writer, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, shares so simply and yet so profoundly and clearly the keys to enjoying life to the max. It's what we want, right? We want to be blessed. We can call it living life to the max and call it blessed. I know some of you are saying to yourself, blessed. That's not what I think about when I think about living life to the max. I mean, I'm looking for a husband or a wife or a good job or a solid portfolio or at least a Porsche, right? If that's your response, I'm glad you're here today because you don't understand what it means to be blessed. Because if we really understood what the Bible means about being blessed and we're thinking straight, then being blessed is going to be on the top of our priority list. And all the other things will fall under that. So whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not, if you want to be internally happy, satisfied, content, at peace, fulfilled, joyful, and basically believing that life is worth living and worth getting excited about, guess what? You want to be blessed. That's what you want. The problem is that many of us who really want to be blessed are looking in the wrong places for the blessing. And many of us who know better have been deceived and have sold out to what the world says is living life to the max. The real question we're going to ask this morning is, as you look at your life 5 or 10 years down the road, the Lord hasn't returned and you're still kicking, are there any guarantees that you can be blessed? That you will be blessed. And the answer from Psalm 1 is yes. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. There seems to be this real obsession these days in the area of wanting to know what's going to happen in the future, right? People are really caught up with psychic hotlines, fortune-telling, horoscopes, tarot cards, tea leaves. A real desire to know what the future holds. It's interesting that the psalmist in this first psalm peeks into the future and predicts very boldly, with no reservation, the blessedness quotient of our lives. And he says, with no uncertainty at all, with no qualifications at all, that he can predict with 100% accuracy if we will be blessed or barren of soul. If we will be like fruitful trees planted by a never-ending supply of water. If we will be like dried up chaff blown around by the wind. Let's look at Psalm 1 if you have your Bibles. Psalm 1. This is interesting. This guy, the author of Psalm 1, right out of the gate, no warming up in the bullpen. This is it. This is how to live a blessed life. We could put a title over this chapter and say, the blessed man or the blessed woman. And it says this, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates, or she meditates, day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he or she does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In this portion, it really boils down, the guarantee boils down to two things. Are you listening to the right voices? Then number two, are you doing what the right voices are telling you to do? Blessedness has everything to do with who you hang out with, who you spend time with. Blessed people are those who delight in the law of the Lord. For guidance and regarding daily conduct. They look not to public opinion or what's politically correct or to the revealed, but to the revealed word of God, and as a result, they're like a tree planted by streams of living water. Now, to us, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but to these people, it was a picture of an oasis in a vast desert. Men and women, the world that we live in is a desert if you're looking to that for blessing. It doesn't have what we need to be blessed, but God has supplied through the person of Jesus Christ an oasis where we can be satisfied and healthy, where our lives are fruitful, and even though all around us is barren, our leaves won't wither because of the unlimited supply of living water that comes from Christ. There's a great verse in Isaiah 35:8, and it says, the road to blessedness is marked obedience. Just think about that for a minute. The road to blessedness is marked by obedience. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. You want to be blessed? Be obedient. Today we're talking about what the Bible means when it says in Numbers 6, 24 to 26, may the Lord bless you and keep you, protect you. May the Lord turn his face toward you. In the New Living, it says, and smile on you. Be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Pretty good stuff, right? Are you kidding me? This is awesome. This is powerful. This is a life changer. This is a game changer. God's blessing in our lives. He loves us, wants to provide the best and protect us from the worst. He wants to bless us. He knows what we need in order to be blessed. And he knows what we don't need, those things that keep us from his blessings. He knows us. Let's define what it means to be blessed. Jesus called it the abundant life, right? He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I came to you might have life and have it abundantly, that your life and my life could be blessed. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why he died for you and for me, so that we could have abundant life, a blessed life, that we could be connected to the giver of life, the sustainer of life, and the one through whom life can make sense. I want to read to you from a book by Bruce Wilkinson called The Prayer of Jabez. I don't know if any of you have read it. I recommend it. Here's what Bruce says about desiring God's blessing on our lives, not just talking about it, but desiring it, wanting it, praying for it, as we're going to see in a couple minutes. When he says this, when we seek God's blessing as the ultimate value in life, we are throwing ourselves entirely into the river of his will, his power, and his purposes for us. All other needs become secondary to what we really want, which is to be wholly immersed in what God is trying to do in us, through us, and around us for his glory. All other things become secondary because when we ask for God's blessing, this is what we want. Wholly immersed in what God is trying to do in and through and around us for his glory. Let me tell you, when we get serious about seeking, wanting, praying for God to bless our lives, things start happening in our lives, things that don't normally happen. And you know what the Bible calls things that don't normally happen? What does he call those? Miracles. Miracles. A miracle is an intervention by God to make something happen that wouldn't normally happen. That's what it means to be blessed. Aren't you kind of tired of the same old, same old? Say, yes, I'm tired of the same old, same old. I hope you're tired of the same old, same old. I am. Then what we want is for God to bless us. Really bless us. There's a guy in the Bible called Jabez. Anybody know anything about Jabez? 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 8 or 9 is the most unread portion of Scripture in all of the Bible. Most of you are not spending your devotional time in 1 Chronicles 1 through 8. You know what it is? It's the genealogy. It's the names, 500 plus names, one after the other after the other, from Adam until Israel was released from captivity, okay? 500 plus names. But right in the middle of 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 9, chapter 4, 44 names in chapter 4, and you hit Jabez. And the author says, you know what? I want people to know about this guy. These are just names, these other guys, but I want you to know this guy. Jabez comes on the scene. Something about Jabez caused the writer to say, you got to know something about this guy. He's not just a name. He stands head and shoulders above the rest. He's special. Let's look up 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Just think about this. All these names, just one after the other, and all of a sudden, Jabez comes on the scene. And the author says, now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez. I hope there's no Jabezes here. You know what Jabez means. He will cause pain. How'd you like to go to school and have the name Jabez? Oh, he's a pain. He got over that, though, because he says this, because I bore him in pain, his mom said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel because he heard all the stories about God and all the things that he was doing, and he wanted part of that. And he prayed, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, when you see the word indeed in the Bible, it means that's an underlined, capitalized, exclamation points at the end. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about being blessed indeed. And then he says this, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. His name was Pain. He wanted nothing to do with that. I don't know what your circumstances are in your life, but you don't have a name that says that you're a pain. Okay, so you've got that taken care of. But you got probably other things in your life, and that's holding you back for some reason. And Jabez says, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm praying that God would bless me, regardless of what I'm coming out of. And then he says, I want you to bless me indeed. I want you to increase my territory of influence. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be with me, God, as I go in this adventure of blessing. And I want you to keep me from evil. I want you to know this, and I hope you do. When you and I really ask for God to bless us, indeed, the enemy's not happy about that. The enemy is not happy about that. He wants the same old Rob. He doesn't want, bless me indeed, God, Rob. And so you're going to have issues in your life. You're going to have challenges in your life. But God's going to be with you when you make that commitment, okay? And he will enable you, to keep you from evil, because that's the thing that happens, and I've seen it happen in so many friends of mine in ministry. They're blessed, and the enemy comes in and knocks their feet off from underneath them with some issue, some sin issue in their life. I'm going to challenge you today to pray this type of a prayer, okay? A Jabez type prayer. And it might go something like this. God, I want you to bless me. I want you to use me to have impact on people's lives, even this week, okay? I want you to expand my territory. I want to get out of the box that I'm in. I want to encourage people. I want to help people. I want to see people that have needs. And I want you to walk with me and give me what I need to do that. And I want you to keep me from those things that are going to sideline me, the sin that so easily entangles us, right? Sidelines us, takes God's blessing away from us. And I challenge you to do that every day. Lord, bless me indeed today, would you? Would you open my eyes to people around me that need encouragement, that I can help, that I can share truth with? Would you walk with me in that journey? Would you protect me from all the things that the enemy's going to throw at me when I start down that adventure? And I'm gonna believe that there's gonna be some miracles come out of that. There's gonna be some opportunities that are gonna come in you, and you're gonna say, wow, I never thought that this would happen. I never thought that this person would ask me that question, that I'd be aware of this person's need in their life, and I can move into that. And maybe you'd be able to share a miracle where God intervened and got involved in the lives of somebody in your orbit, okay? So when you say the term, God bless you, okay, let's think of it in a much broader sense than just make my life better, bring things into my life that make me happy. Open up opportunities for me to see God use me for his purposes. That's what it means to be blessed, biblically. And I'm praying that that would be your desire, to be blessed as you leave here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you desire to bless us, that you desire to give us what we need to bless others. Thanks for Jabez, who, even though he had some difficult things to overcome in his life, his desire was that he would be blessed, that he would be used, that you would walk with him, that he would be protected from the enemy. I pray that that would be our desire today. I pray that we could be used to encourage somebody this week, that we could be used to bless somebody this week, and that we would have testimony of that as you have opportunity to, as we have opportunity to share that. So we just thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for a beautiful day, and pray that we would enjoy it, enjoy the blessing of that, and that we would be a blessing to somebody else. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.